on the globe, transforming lives into legacies. Living Word with Pastor Mensah Otabil. And now, today's word.
Now, many times when people say, you know, I feel the Spirit of God, in a real sense, when people say that, there will be something that gives them that sense. Sometimes in a service, at a point, you just sense God. You sense His presence. For some people, they will cry. They will shed a tear. For some people, they will feel goosebumps. For some people, they will feel like trembling. For some people, they will fall down. All of these physical manifestations are telling you that something you felt which you couldn't see in the spirit realm has had an impact on you. Just like in Genesis, the Spirit of God had an impact upon the waters. He moved upon the waters. He affected the waters. He affected the earth. So the Spirit of God is immaterial, invisible, but He's real, He's active, and you can feel His presence. And God has designed human beings. I'm rushing now. This is part something later, but let me bring it here. God has designed human beings with the capacity to sense His presence. Now, you can sense His presence and deny it. You can sense His presence and say, I think it's just me. You can just sense His presence and say, I feel it's something, something. Whether you call it something, something, or something, nothing, the Spirit of God is real, He's active, and He witnesses to you all the time when He is present in your life. And there are times you go to a place where people are conscious of the presence of God, sometimes in worship, in praise, and you will know that although I can't see it, and although I can't physically feel it, something is happening to me. And that something happening to you is the Spirit of God, the creator of the universe, telling you, I am here. And I'm working. So the Spirit of God is real and active. The Spirit of God can be sensed or felt. He's a real person. Later on, when we go further in the Bible, the Spirit of God is distinguished from other spirits, because at this point, this is the only spirit. But by the time human beings are created, they also have spirit. So the Spirit of God has to be distinguished from the human spirit and also from other spirits, the devil and his gang. So the Spirit of God was later called the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Why is He called the Holy Spirit? Because He's not the only spirit. There are other spirits, but He's unique. And so we call Him Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. And later we'll get to know other things about God. But that's what I want to get you to understand. When we say something is spirit, you cannot materially dissect it. The other time I was listening to somebody say, you know, when a person dies, he's dead. Because they say the spirit, when does the spirit come? When does the spirit leave? When is... I said, how are you going to find out? How are you going to find out? It's like if you were among dogs, if you were the only human being among dogs, the dogs will hear a sound you don't hear. Because dogs hear sound at a level that the human ear cannot hear. So somebody will blow a dog whistle, shh, and they will all peck their ears and be looking somewhere, and you say, what's happening? Nothing is happening. Nothing is happening. They are hearing something. You are not hearing it. And the fact that you are not hearing it does not mean it's not occurring. Are you getting me? That's even in the natural world. In the natural world, there are colors we cannot see. We cannot see ultraviolet, we cannot see ultra-red light. But other beings can see them. The fact that you don't see it doesn't mean it's not there. If you go into the sun and you expose yourself too much to ultraviolet rays, the effect will manifest in your body. And you'll get all kinds of things happening to your body because although you don't see it, it is real. Of course, science later is able to discover all of this because they are all atomic based. But God is a spirit. Whether you respond to him or not, he is spirit. Now, what I want you to notice in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, is the condition under which the Holy Spirit is moving, or the Spirit of God is moving. It's very, very instructive. It says, the earth is without form and void and dark. All these are negative descriptions. They are negative. They are not positive. Something is void is not good. Something is dark is not good. Something is, the waters there are a symbol of chaos. Something is chaotic is not good. But the Spirit of God is moving. And the Bible is giving us a clear picture of who God is and how he works in our lives and where we can feel him. So, two implications I want to talk about the Spirit of God. The first is that the Spirit of God rules over all conditions of chaos. No matter how dark or chaotic life can be, the Spirit of God rules over it. Darkness cannot hide the presence of God. Darkness cannot stop the presence of God. Chaos cannot stop the presence and the working of God. Because, you know, many times we think the Spirit of God is only present when things are perfect in order. But Genesis 1:2 tells us that things can be extremely chaotic in your life, but the presence of God, the Spirit of God, is still there. And one of the things we have to learn as Christians is how to sense the presence of God in the midst of chaos. When everything around us is wrong, for us to know the Spirit of God is hovering, the Spirit of God is still moving, God has not left me, and God is still at work. Because if we equate the presence of God only to peaceful environments, we only have a half picture of the presence of God. The presence of God is with you when there is peace, when things are settled, the presence of God is there. But when things are chaotic, and you can't find your way, and you can't see your way through, the Spirit of God is still present. And no matter the chaos in your life, the chaos cannot bury the presence of God. The chaos cannot hide the presence of God. The Spirit of God is moving over your life. I believe there's somebody sitting here today. This past week has been the most chaotic week of your life. And you probably think, God has left me. But had God left the earth in Genesis 1:2? No. He's there. There is chaos. There is darkness. And he's there. And interestingly, his presence does not necessarily change the circumstance. Because somehow we think that if God is here, everything must change. God is there. Nothing has changed. It's still chaotic. It's still dark. It's still formless and void. Is God there? Yes. So sometimes God can be in your life and God can be present in your situation and the situation may not change. May not change. I'm not saying will not change. I say may not change. And in the period when the situation is not changing, never conclude that God is absent. Never conclude. Second implication, the Spirit of God prepares me for the Word of God. The Spirit of God prepares me for the Word of God. Now, if you know the account of Genesis, and this is what I'm going to preach on next week. In the beginning, God created. Who is this God? He is a spirit. But verse 3 will later tell us that as the Spirit of God moved, Something else happened. God spoke. So the Spirit of God is a precursor to the Word of God. When you sense the Spirit of God moving in your life, don't just roll on the floor and get up and go. You know, like people go to a service, hands are laid on them, they cry, and then they put, the ushers who put cloth on them, and then they go and sit down. I say, something has moved, but what did you hear? Because this Spirit of God in verse 2 is going to lead to verse 3, where God is going to release a word, and it is by the release of the word that transformation begins. So when you are in a service and the Spirit of God is moving and you fall down, you roll, you throw your leg, you must hear something. Because if God's word is not implanted in you, that experience of the Holy Spirit may still leave you in a chaotic state, although you have fully experienced the Holy Spirit. Because it is just the beginning of the process. You must get the next process in order for things to start manifesting and change occurring in your life. The Spirit of God moves. We feel His presence. We sense His presence. But that's not the end. The Spirit of God prepares me for the Word of God. That's why, I have great concern when people just talk about the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. And sometimes I go to meetings and people are rolling all over the floor and people are jumping and, I don't know about you, but when you pray for me, I don't want to fall. Why should I fall? I'm going to live my life. Something good must happen to me. I've sensed the Holy Spirit. Why should I fall? And what do I get from it? Yeah, you scream. I feel the fire. You felt something. You felt the something. And then, because next week we're going to learn, after this, hovering over the waters, then God said. Now all of you, some of you are just under the hovering. But no hearing of the word. No hearing of the word. You rolled up and down. You rolled up and down. The ushers covered you nicely. And then, I don't know about you, but I like the anointing that makes you stand. I like the anointing that makes you stand. I mean, if you fall, fine. But I like the one that makes me stand. Because I read in my New Testament that when Jesus Christ was baptized, He rose up. He didn't fall. And the Spirit of God was upon Him. That's the one I like. I want the anointing that makes me stand and hear clearly the voice. This is my beloved Son. Because if you have an experience with the Spirit of God, have no encounter with the Word of God, there will be no transformation in your life. Are you following me? Genesis chapter 1 is progressively teaching us about God, who He is and how to deal with Him. He will let His Spirit work on you, but that will not be the end. I've already preached part four next week. So I have to look for more things to say next week, because I've preached much of next week already. But that is what it means. You have an encounter with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, but that encounter must lead us to another encounter, which we'll find out next week about how to encounter the Word of God. Amen.